chapter 40, and then Psalm 27 and Proverbs 27. So Isaiah 40 first, and then Psalm and Proverbs both 27. It is good to see Bob and Helen here tonight. It's a blessing. I'm telling you, I am blessed. Because I want to borrow some money from him tonight. I'm hoping he brought his wallet. All right. Isaiah chapter 40. This will not be the first time I heard this verse. And that's one thing, you know. One thing about the Bible. Reruns are great. Right? I mean, keep reading that book over and over and over, and it never wears out, and you always are blessed by reading it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And now go to Psalm 27. And Psalm 27, again, the very last verse in the Psalm, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And then Proverbs chapter 27, and look at verse 18. "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." Let's bow our heads, and let's talk to the author of these words. Father, it always amazes me, God, that I am a walking, talking piece of dirt, but I can address my Creator as Father. I mean, Lord, if you had saved us and not made us your sons, I don't think any of us would complain. Still be good to be going to heaven. But you even added to salvation our sonship. And so God, now the dirt ball calls its creator Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this book. Thank you for the truth. Ask you now, Father, please get Sam Gipp out of the way of these people, out of your way. Please speak to the heart of each individual that is here. God, comfort the hearts, encourage your people, and help us all to wait on you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I've often said this, since we got saved, a Christian, when you get saved, from the day you get saved, you spend the rest of your life at a truck stop or at a bus stop. And by that, I mean this. From the day you got saved, we've been waiting for the Lord to come back, right? Yeah. And I just want to give you a little sidebar on that. What a beautiful bus stop. The United States of America. You know, I preach in the jungles of New Guinea. And it's not real neat, and they're waiting for the Lord to come. And if you got to wait for the Lord, it's nice to wait where they have a burger place right down the street. It's nice where there's air conditioning. It's nice where the water doesn't kill you when you drink it. And so we've all heard about, and use these verses on us, that we need to patiently wait on the Lord to come back, correct? That's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm not going to talk to you about that. There is another way to take the verses I read, especially if you look at this 18. Proverbs 27:18, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." You ever go out to eat? Well, the person that brings your food, takes your order, is a waiter or waitress. They what? They wait on you. And I think that, especially in verse 18, I think that is what that is talking about. And so I'm going to talk to you tonight about waiting on the Lord, okay? Being a good waiter. Because the problem is this, guys. If we have a problem, you know, here's what kills me. We don't believe in the entitlement mentality with the government, correct? We don't think the government owes people money and owes people health care and owes people this. And Christians just kill me because we don't believe that the government, you know, we're entitled to everything, but we have that very mentality with God. And we actually think it's almost like He is up there to serve us. I just told you, you know, that proverb, Revelation chapter 4:11 says we're here to put a smile on His face. Amen. And we kind of get up every morning and tell Him what He can do to put a smile on our face. And that is exactly backwards. And so guys, look, I'm telling you, really, I hope everything goes good for you. I hope your health is good. I hope you make plenty of money. I hope you like your food. Everything goes well. But He is not here to wait on us. Amen. We are here to wait on Him. Isn't a waiter a servant? All right, then I'm going to talk to you about waiting. And, you know, living on the road for the last 33 years, we deal with a lot of waiters and waitresses. Okay, some of them, they'll not ever find their bodies till halfway through the tribulation. But But when you deal, you know, you eat in restaurants a lot, you deal with some waiters, so I'm just going to give you some examples of what a good waiter is. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I love to take my wife out to eat. I do. Two things I like to do. I like to walk down the street holding her hand, and I love to take her out to eat. I just love sitting across the table from her, watching her eat. Honey, maybe you could use the silverware. Yeah, I know, but it's spaghetti. Well, could you use just one hand? But, oh, don't look at her. She's heard that 1,000 times. I don't know why she didn't walk out. But anyway, but we have. I do. But look, if you like to take your wife out, guys, you know what can ruin a good meal? A bad waiter. Really, I mean a bad waiter. And a good waiter or good waitress is a good experience. So I'm going to talk to you about what a good waiter does. And then you check out your service to him. Not your service to the church, not your service to somebody else, but your service as a waiter, as a waitress to him. The first thing, this may not sound like it's a deep thing for the waiter, but they notice you. Now you say, well, of course they notice you. Well, I'm not sure of that. We were in Florida many years ago, and we walked in this restaurant. And now look. I'm not a spy. My wife and I, we're not going to talk state secrets when we sit in a restaurant. But I don't understand the concept. You walk in a restaurant that is basically empty except for one booth, and they sit you next to them people. What are they thinking? But here's the problem. I am serious. Kathy and I, we go in this restaurant. The place is empty, which probably told us something about the food. There's two guys sitting in a booth, and they sat us right next to them. So they're sitting right over there. And for 20 minutes by the watch, the waiter walked back and forth to their table. He didn't bring us menus. He didn't bring us water. He didn't even look. All he had to do was, when he's talking to them, is look over and say, I'll be with you. You know, after I get this whole crowd taken care of. And I'm looking at him, you know. I'm thinking, is this guy going to notice us? I'm thinking, what can I throw on the floor that would shatter, make noise, and get his attention? And the guy for 20 minutes walks out there back and forth taking care of these guys. And I finally just looked at my wife. Now, here's why. You think, oh, I'll bet you really ripped into him. I don't do that. I really don't. Shot him. No. I said, here's my philosophy. Aren't there a lot of restaurants in this town, in this country? Yeah. So I can find food somewhere. And I just told Kathy, I said, babe, I said, there's a lot of restaurants in this country. I said, we can get food somewhere. And so we get up to leave, and we're walking out, and the manager says, did you enjoy your meal? And I said, I don't know. We sat there for 20 minutes. The guy never ignored us. He just totally ignored us. And he goes, you go in there right now, and I'll guarantee you'll be waited on in 30 seconds. I said, by an angry waiter? Do you know what waiters can do to your food? I am not having an angry waiter wait on me. And I said, well, no, thanks, that's okay. And we just went down the road, walked in a restaurant, they sat us down, they gave us menus, we got our food, and we were fine. But you would think, hey, I'm here, right?
Yeah, right.
Hey, guys, how many times do you notice the Lord?
Yeah, come on.
How do you notice Him? You know, I like days like today. I call these blue sky days. Blue sky, green grass. Isn't that beautiful? It is beautiful. And I always trained our boys, you know, if it was a day like this and we'd be someplace, I'd say, boys, God made this. I said, let's just thank Him for it.
Yeah.
And it's nice if you notice Him. See, the problem is most of the time, the only time we contact God is when we need something.
Yeah.
God, I need a raise. God, take care of this. I got a health problem. Don't let the cop turn around right now. You know, that's when we talk to Him. But we never say, hey, I'm supposed to be here to serve Him. And that is what we're here for. We were in Austria. I was in Austria, and we walked into this restaurant, and we're sitting at a table, and there's a guy sitting over here all by himself. He's having a cigarette, and he is staring at us like, I wish you'd all die. Maybe he was left over from World War II. I don't know. But he waited on us. And you know, the host there, the guy I was with, I didn't worry about it. He's in charge. So we sat there for a while, and this guy just keeps giving us these dirty looks. I'm thinking, he must recognize me. Finally, he gets done with the cigarette, snuffs it out, and came over and waited on us. He was our waiter, and he didn't want to be bothered. Guys, I am sorry, but a lot of what the Lord wants us to do, why don't we be honest and say we don't want to be bothered?
Yeah.
We're to the point, you know what I see in our churches, and our churches are doing good, but I see this feeling it's almost like this is the statement that the people have. Preacher, it is not fair that I should have to extend myself, that I should have to sacrifice, that I should have to deny myself. I shouldn't have to give up anything for the Lord. I don't want to be inconvenienced for this God I love, even a little bit. And so, guys, first thing is, if he's a good waiter, they notice you. The second thing, they bring you what you want. You know, is this not a great truth? You don't get everything you want. But isn't the exception when I go to the restaurant? I mean, isn't that guy there to take care of this? Now, I know I can't go to, you know, Burger King and order Kentucky Fried Chicken. But I can order what I want. They're there to take care of you. They're there to see to it that you have a pleasurable existence. We ate at a place one time, and you know the term greasy spoon? Yeah, I think this was the one that they were at right before they came up with that idea. It was what we had the boys with us, and I think Luke was still a baby, and it was one of them old-fashioned high chairs, but it didn't even have a belt to strap him in. But that's okay, because when you put him in the high chair, he's stuck. I had a short sleeve shirt, and I got my arm on the table, and as I pick it up, you ever just have your skin just kind of want to stay right there? I pick up my fork and I look at it, and the waitress came and I said, look at that. The other guy had eggs. She said, did she give you a clean fork? No, she charged me for the eggs actually. But and so it was one of those deals. You know, the deal is salad or appetizer, meal and dessert. Well, I can't remember what the salad was, but it was the salad and the meal and a bowl of ice cream. That all was a package deal. So we ordered that. And the girl went back to the kitchen and brought us the ice cream. And I'm looking at this. Now, there are thoughts that go through your mind. Obviously not in hers. But and so we're sitting there watching this ice cream melt. And we had like vanilla soup after it was over. Now, let me ask you, is that what you want? You think if she went to a restaurant, that's what she wants? No. And so, guys, when you go to a restaurant, you're not spoiled, because you Americans, you're all spoiled. No, we're not spoiled. But when we go to a restaurant, we expect to be taken care of. It is the one time when somebody is there to serve us. Guys, my wife and I are servants. We do. We serve people. We serve Christians. We serve preachers. And I don't have any problem with that. But when I go to a restaurant, that's my day off. Or at least that's my hour off. And you expect somebody to get you what you want. This is, if I have a problem with waiters and waitresses, a good waiter or waitress sweats the little things. Okay? You say, what do you mean? All right, now I don't know what you like on your baked potato. I like nothing but butter. I have one remaining artery that is not clogged, and I'm trying to finish this off. Okay? And so I'll say, bring me a baked potato with a lot of butter. Two pats of butter. If that's a lot, I hope you get a lot of money. All right? And who was the genius that brought soft bread and frozen butter? And did you ever just have it peel up like the lid of a sardine can? You got to try to put the butter on it. It just kind of rolls right up around the knife. And I'll go, could I have some more butter? And they'll bring me another pat. I'm thinking, are you buying this stuff? I mean, is this out of your pay? You know, do they take it from your tip? Did you ever ask? Now, here's the problem with that. You say, here's what the thought is. Small thing, small importance. Right? When does butter melt best on a baked potato? When it's hot. And if the butter has been in the freezer for a while, you really need the potato hot. So if you say, they bring a baked potato, could I have some extra butter? Yep. And here's their thinking. That's a little thing. I have other things to do. I've got three more tables. I'll throw the butter on my tray and get by there when I can. And so like 5 or 10 minutes later, they bring the butter by. Now your potato's cold. And they didn't think of it. You say, well, it's a little thing. No, no, no. Little things are what mess us up, people. I mean, what do they say? Is it not a little one? You know, we aren't going to go out there and go shoot up dope or rob a bank. Our sins are little sins. And when we look at them, we go, is it not a little one? Well, we can get by with this one. It can't be too important. You get butter, salad dressing, coffee creamer. I hate coffee, but I love creamer. And the only way I can drink it is I got to put it in a thing called coffee. So I tell them, I said, I want extra cream. They bring two. Now you got to understand, I do everything in the extreme, and two is not extreme. All right. Or you say, a few years ago I lost weight, and I like sugar. Okay. I like sugar. You say, oh, you mean the raw sugar, the stuff that has no. I want it bleached. I want it zero food value, okay? I am not interested in when I'm, look, I just want to die with a smile on my face, that's all. I have a medical problem. I don't talk much about it, but it's something they call glaze withdrawal. Fortunately, Krispy Kreme, Dunkin' Donuts, and Tim Hortons have put clinics all across the country, and when my glaze withdrawal gets real bad, we get in there and we're okay. And I like sugar, okay? I was preaching one time, and I said something about sugar, like eating it. And this guy comes down, a young guy comes down to talk to me. You know you're in trouble. Do you ever have a guy that is talking to you, but looking through you? You know, the guy comes down, he goes, can I ask you a question? Which I thought that was a pretty good question right there. And I said, yeah, go for it. He goes, well, you talked about sugar like it's good to eat. I said, well, I tried smoking it once, pal. That didn't. I said, boy, if it drips on your chin, it's worse than the cheese off a hot piece of pizza. You'll just slap right there and leave a third-degree burn. He says, and you have a hard time believing this, but he got upset with me. And he says, well, sugar's just dope. I quit eating sugar. And it cleared up half my mind. Now, how come I think most of you just had the same thought that I had when he said that? Like, we need to check what you're eating, pal. There's something else you need to quit. There's another half to this journey that you have not made yet, okay? And so, did you ever notice that no matter what you do, there's always a Christian to let you know that you're not doing right? And I don't tell people, look, I quit eating sugar so I can lose the weight. You can eat sugar all you want. I love sugar. And so I'm sitting with this Christian, and we use the sweet and low, the pink ones. And this guy goes, that kills brain cells. And I said, I've heard that. But I said, I monitor myself very closely. I said, if reality TV ever gets interesting to me, I'll know I've killed enough brain cells. When I find a yearning to watch Dancing with the Stars or America's Got Talent, I am dumping 3 teaspoons of sugar in my coffee, okay? But here's the thing. You want creamer or you want sugar, and you say, you know, could you bring some of this? Oh, yeah, no problem. I've had them. You ask for it, and they'll bring everything else. I go, remember the sugar? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, I forgot. And then they still don't remember. Guys, I'm telling you, little things are big things. You understand? And you're serving God. And really, I'm going to tell you this. You're doing well if you're not out robbing banks and committing adultery and killing people, okay? If those things that we see in our world that are repulsive and they are vile, if those are not in your life, then think about this. All you've got left in your life are little things, right? Then don't say they can't be important. No, that's all you got to do to take care of getting this thing straightened out with God. And so a good waiter waitress sweats the little things. A good waiter waitress has a good attitude. Yeah. I want somebody with a good attitude. I'm sorry. There is a great truth. I teach back in the Bible college in Boise. I teach preparation delivery, and I teach my young preacher students the great truth of preaching. And if a preacher gets this one truth down, the great truth of preaching, he can be a great preacher. It takes one thing, and that is this. In lieu of conviction, intimidation will work. You say, what do you mean? Well, okay, look. Preaching is a spiritual matter, correct? Okay? So when we preachers preach, we try to give you some Bible truth. And here's what we really hope. That the Holy Spirit will deal with your heart, basically saying amen to our message. That's called conviction. You ever been someplace when, you know, some godly person was preaching and you felt convicted? Okay, that's what we want. Well, we don't have the Holy Spirit on a leash. We don't have Him in our pocket. We can't guarantee the Holy Spirit's going to come into a service. So, in lieu of the Holy Spirit showing up, I'll just intimidate you into thinking He's here. I make you feel guilty. I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to make you all feel guilty. You can't do anything about this. I have you in my power. Now watch. You guys don't want people to go to hell, right? Right? You care about lost people, correct? Lost souls dying and going to hell. Yes. And how many of you witnessed to 100 people last week? I didn't witness to 100 people. See, you don't really care about souls. And you're going, I don't really care about souls. Guys, that's not the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's intimidation. Okay, so in lieu of conviction, intimidation will work. And there were some preachers, I wasn't there, but there were some preachers, you know, having breakfast or whatever. And the waitress was kind of like, what do you say, like an old mud wrestler? Whatever it was, she just had a bad attitude. And just gruff with these guys. And finally, this one preacher said, ma'am, you need to get a better attitude. We're your customers. You need to get a better attitude. And scolded her. And I don't scold him, believe me or not. So she walks off, and another guy, another preacher said, here comes the intimidation. See, no Holy Spirit anywhere near. He goes, how do you know she hasn't had a bad day? How do you know that somebody in her family hasn't died? How do you know that she doesn't have a heavy heart right now, and that's why she's like that, and you're giving her a hard time? Now, you see how you feel like, oh man, I'm so rotten. You know what my response to that is? How does she know I haven't had a bad day? How does she know I'm not coming here from the funeral of my child? How does she know I didn't just get a bad diagnosis or a biopsy from a doctor? If you can't handle it, don't do it. I tell my young men, don't carry your emotions. Look, I don't care what your problem is. You don't take them into a pulpit. They ought not to know there's anything wrong. It is not up there for you to tell everybody about your grief, okay? We were at a restaurant, and the waitress was good. She was good. And I always comment. If they are good, I tell them. And then before I leave, if I have bad service, I don't always seek out the manager and tell them our service was bad. I don't complain to the waiter or waitress or anything else. But if I have good service, I seek out the manager and I say, we had so-and-so. And they're, as soon as you say that, they think, oh man, they did something wrong. I said, I said, well, let you know, their service was great. They did a great job and everything. And I let them know, okay? And this one lady, I'm trying to think of it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We had a restaurant out in Montana, and it's called Ruth's. And I think the last half of the sign is Ruthless. Ruth is, I'm sure she was an NFL halfback or fullback at one time. I mean, she's got more hair on her arms than I got on my head, okay? And gruff. I mean, she'd walk out to a table and go, what do you want? What do you want? I'm just like that. That was her manner. A preacher friend of mine took his in-laws there. That shows you how bad she was. My mother-in-law deserves her. And so his mother-in-law ordered trout or something. And she's talking to her husband, and Ruth sticks this, she brings out her meal, sticks out this big old hairy arm, and there is a trout fully equipped. Head, tail, and everything else. And so she's talking to her husband, she goes, oh! And Ruth goes, what's the matter? So I'm just not used to having the head on my face. Truth. Is that better? That's the truth. In fact, people went there like it was a sideshow. She was the entertainment. But guys, you want somebody to have a good attitude. Isn't that true? Yeah. Well, guys, we're allowed to have a good attitude about the Lord. Do you understand you get to serve God? You know, I get people a lot saying, you know, why don't you slow down? Why don't you cut some meetings? Why don't you quit doing all the stuff you do? You know why? Because I know one of these days when two things are going to happen in my life. I'm going to die or the Lord's going to come back. Whichever one of those two happens first, at that moment, I will never have the opportunity to do anything for God again when I don't have to. Oh, I'll praise Him the rest of eternity, but won't it be natural? Come on, when we get to heaven, won't praising God be natural? You know, I'll bet you somebody came to this church tonight and you don't feel well. And you said, man, I don't want to go, but I should be there and I'm going to go. You'll know you'll never do that in eternity. You might have come here mad at some Christian, mad at God, mad about something. And I know people say, I hear preachers, sometimes it's like I told you, either they've been hit in the head too many times or not enough. And they'll go, oh yeah, you couples, you married couples, you argue like a cat and a dog in the car, then you get out of the car, you put that fake smile on, walk in here like everything's all right. And I'm thinking, what do you want to have to do? Have a gun battle in the church? Look, if you want to fight in the car, fight in the car. Then get out of the car, put the phony smile on, walk in here like everything's okay, and maybe by the time you leave, everything will be. But you want somebody with a good attitude. My goodness, we get to sacrifice for God. But do we have to make it sound like they're taking our appendix out every day? Does it always have to be major surgery? Oh, I can't do that. I'm a Christian, and I have to go to church again because I'm a Christian. We don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. Guys, man, I was a Catholic and I went once on Sunday and that's enough. And if you'd have told me someday I was going to go to church twice on Sunday, nah. And if you'd have told me someday I was going to be there on a Monday, you wouldn't even want to record what I said. But you know, sometimes I have a meeting like this Sunday through Wednesday, and then we'll drive maybe 200 miles and I'll do a Thursday through Sunday. And my favorite night in church, I love this night. I love Saturday night in church. You know why? Because I look at that crowd and if this were Saturday night, tell me if this is not true. I like being in church on Saturday night because I know what some of them folks used to do on Saturday night. And I believe this, guys. I think when, like, you guys come in here and you come in when you don't feel like it, or you come in on a Saturday night or on a weekday when it's not a church night, and God up in heaven says, hey, Mike, Gabe, look here. Look at that guy right down there. He used to tell jokes about my cross. Now he's singing about it. Man, I think that is good. You understand? I am so blessed. I love going to church. I really do. I love being in church. I love being around God's people. And guys, you got a waiter, waitress. You want them to have a good attitude. A good waiter, waitress, think about this, thinks only of your satisfaction. Now, isn't that what we're supposed to do with the Lord? We're supposed to be concerned with His satisfaction. We're usually preoccupied with our own satisfaction, but we're supposed to be preoccupied with His. This is what happened one time. I took Kathy out, and you know, we've been saving up for like 3 years to go out. So we go to this place, and we order steak. Now, I like a steak medium rare. You can have it any way you want. I like it medium rare. My wife likes it medium rare. So the waitress comes over. She's a delightful lady. And she says, how would you like your steaks? Medium rare, medium rare. And so off she goes. So she comes back. Now, sometimes even before you cut into it, you kind of have a hint. I mean, when the smoke is still, you know, the flames are still on there and it's charred black. I always tell, when it's shaped like the bottom of my shoe and just as thick, I know I'm in trouble. And so I had a suspicion that these looked like they were a little cooked more than medium rare. Cut into them, I mean cooked solid all the way through. I don't send food back. But this was a night that I'm taking my wife out. We don't get to go out much. We want to have a nice meal. And so we're looking at this, and I call the waitress over. And maybe it's me. So I said, ma'am, I said, when we ordered these steaks, I said, how did we order them? She said, medium rare. I said, well, look at that. Oh, that's not medium rare. I'm going to go get you two more steaks. Wonderful lady. Off she goes. She comes back out. Had I not cut into the first steaks, I'd have thought they brought the same ones out. I mean, they were a burnt offering. So she brings these two steaks out and walks off. And I'm looking at this, you know, going, man, this doesn't look good, you know. I cut in it. Sure enough, cooked all the way through. Now, if you like your steak that way, where were you when we needed you? And so she sees us. I wasn't going to say, we're going to eat these steaks. But she comes over and says, is there a problem? I said, yeah, ma'am. I said, when we ordered these steaks, how do we ask them to be cooked? She said, medium rare. I said, look, she goes, that is not medium rare. I'm getting you two more steaks. Now, at this point, I'm under conviction. I told Kathy, they're going to kill every cow in the state just to give us two steaks. I mean, they probably go out and kill one out in the back 40. Some dairy farmer's going to go, well, we're one cow short. Yeah, but Gip got a steak. I can't prove this, but I'm pretty sure by this time the cook, he doesn't even have to put them on the, he can just hold them in his hands and cook them. He's mad. I'm pretty sure what he did is he took two raw steaks and went, give this to them. She didn't have to bring them to the table. She could have pointed and they would have walked over. We were going to get a steak and a transfusion at the same time. I mean, they were raw. They were literally raw. I don't mean almost raw. I mean, they were like, you know, they weren't cold, but that's all the better it was. And so what I'm thinking is maybe we should take these home and cook them. And to be honest, I can eat a well-cooked steak, even though I like medium rare, but I can't eat a raw piece of meat. And the lady sees it, and she comes over, and she said, is there a problem? Very perceptive woman. I said, question. I said, when we ordered these steaks, how do we ask them to be cooked? She said, medium rare. I said, look at those. I put my fork in, it went, mmm. She said, well, those aren't even cooked. And she said this, what do you want me to do? And I said, would you kill the cook? No, I said, here's what we'd like you to do. I said, ask your manager if we can pay for the salad and the coffee that we've had. And I said, we'll just go someplace else. I really was afraid to get two more steaks out of that kitchen, okay? And I said, we'll just go someplace else. And so she goes with the manager. She comes back. He said, just go ahead. And so we left. We didn't have to pay. But you know what she was doing? She did care that we were not satisfied. I was out with a preacher one time. And I don't know what I ordered. It was, it was meat. But it was spoiled. You ever get a piece of meat that's spoiled? And so I called the waiter. I said, this piece of meat is spoiled. And so he goes, well, what would you like in place of it? I said, well, I'll just take another one of these. Well, if that's spoiled, the next one's going to be spoiled too. You know, you should watch how you talk to a man that's got a knife and a fork in his hands. And so I ordered something else, like a, you know, deep-fried bagel or something. And I'm eating this thing. And then he comes out and says, you know, the cook took another piece off that meat, and it was spoiled. I thought, why are you telling me like that's a revelation? I'm the one that told you. But here's the kick. Now, I'm not paying for the meal. A pastor's taking me out. They should have taken that meal off the bill. And they never did. You know why? Because the waiter wasn't doing his job. You've had some bad meals. I bet some of you have had a bad meal in a restaurant, and when you said something about it, they took it off your bill. You say, well, I didn't get a good meal, but they treated me right. Correct? That's what a good waiter or waitress does. Man, I hate to think that I shortchange God. I hate to think that I give Him what I like, not caring what He likes. Isn't that true? Well, that's how I like it. I knew of a preacher. He was at a pastor's house. And there are some certain things that you should not eat. Most of them grow out of the ground. Guys, let's just be honest. We do not think like God. We don't have His values. We don't always agree with Him. I don't mean we always disagree, but we just don't think the same, correct? But did you ever just like once or twice in the Bible, just you and God agreed? I got to Genesis chapter 4. And that was where they had the first dinner on the grounds. And Cain brought the salad. And God wasn't interested in that salad. He wanted the meat. I read that. I said, I'm going to like this God. I was someplace one time and I said, I don't think anybody ought to eat pork because I really don't. And some guy, you know, you ever had those guys always trying to convert everybody? And this guy, man, he didn't let me finish my sentence. He goes, amen. Like, tell him, preacher. So I finished my sentence. I said, I don't think anybody should eat pork. That leaves more for me. We go out to eat. We call this celebrating the death of a cow. Okay? But guys, a waiter or waitress, look, they don't cook the food, right? They can't make it better if it's bad. But they can say, I'll take that off your bill. You know why? Because your satisfaction is their goal. That is their whole job. When they go there, from the time they go there to the time they clock off, their whole job is to see to it that every person that sits down at a table, that they're satisfied when they leave, either by the meal or by the treatment, correct? Do we ever feel that way about God? Have you ever said to Him, am I doing you all right? Are you satisfied with my service? God's got to be appalled at some of the things going on in our country that we have no power over. But my goodness, guys, can't we do something for Him to make up for it? Try to do something so that we put a smile on His face? Because there's got to be a lot in this country that disgusts Him. That is repulsive to a holy God. I mean, come on, guys. We're rotten sinners, and it's repulsive to you. Now, if it's repulsive to you, what do you think it is when you're a holy God? Yeah. Could you ever just go to Him and say, you know, you hear some new headline? I mean, this stuff with transgender garbage and all this perverted chasing children around. I mean, could you just say, Lord, I don't have any control over that. I'm sorry. Could I do something for you? Could I just go out and hand out about a dozen tracts? Could I do something to make this a better day for you? Because I know that's got to bother you. We need to see to it that He is satisfied. A good waiter or waitress checks on you regularly. I've had a good waiter or waitress. They come out, they bring the butter, they bring the sweetener, they bring everything you need, and then they go to Kansas. I mean, they never come back. I've watched them. They're standing 20 feet away from me, gas bagging with another waiter or waitress. And I do. I'm looking, what do I throw on the floor? What do I do to get attention here? Set myself on fire. I mean, you know, the glass, your coffee cup is empty, your water glass is empty. Fall on the floor, gasp. What do you do to get them to come back? Right? No, a good waiter or waitress comes back. In fact, they don't even say, do you need something? I've had some. I'll tell you what dazzles me. When I'm right about here on my water glass, I'm thinking, I'm getting where I need some water, and they walk over with a water pitcher. I've had them walking past, and I think they didn't notice anything. And next thing I know, they're coming back with the coffee pot. I noticed your cup was empty when I went by. Now guys, look, don't sit there and go, oh, Gip, you just think, no. All I think is I'm a customer. And a customer comes back where they get good food and good service. That's what you do. I am telling you guys, I'm not a king. Understand? I am not royalty. I do not feel that I deserve some kind of special treatment. But I think any customer deserves good treatment. Okay? And when they notice stuff, you ever have one just notice stuff? That is a blessing. I had one lady. She was really good about the coffee. She was just bad with the aim. And I'm with three preachers in California, and I held my coffee cup up, and she poured coffee in my glass all the way to the elbow. I'm talking about scalding hot coffee. So what'd you do? I said, she went, oh, I'm sorry. I said, oh, it's no problem. She walked away and went, never let them know they hurt you. A good waiter or waitress impresses you. If you've ever had a good meal, you remember it, don't you? But did you ever notice you remember a good waiter or waitress? Yeah. This happened when I was pastoring in Auburn. I think we were moving one of the guys, and for some reason, I think the location of this restaurant is up on 104 just west of Markville. Might be a whole different place. But it was about six or seven of us guys, the men from the church. We go into this restaurant for breakfast. Now, waiters and waitresses kind of have a look to them. This kid, he couldn't have been more than 18 years old. I am sure he was the entire backfield for the high school football team. He's this broad. He's got this much neck. And he just told you what you wanted. And we ate it. No. He doesn't bring a pad or a pencil or anything else. He walks out. He wasn't gruff. He goes, what do you have? And the first thing I'm thinking is, he's not writing anything down? And I told him what I wanted, how I wanted eggs cooked, everything else. Okay, what do you want? Okay, what do you want? I'm thinking, this guy's either got a really good memory or this is going to be a memorable meal. And that kid walked off, never took seven people's orders on eggs. I mean, how many ways can you cook eggs? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Walks off, comes back, hands every person, every one of us, what we ordered, the way we ordered it, with the white toast where it belonged and the wheat toast where it belonged, didn't get one thing out of place. Yeah. Right. I'm still impressed. That was over 30 years ago. I'm still impressed. I'm telling you. Also, I would never do him wrong. Never. Never do him wrong. Guys, when you go out to eat, look, I don't think life is all it's all a party. I don't think it's all about us. I don't think it's all about enjoyment. But I think when you go out to eat, that's about you. I think that 1 hour that somebody would wait on you, that somebody would treat you like you were special. So what? So you're the guy that works at Jiffy Lube. Okay, so you're the guy that drives the garbage truck. But the guy that drives the garbage truck, when he sits down at that meal at night, he's the customer. And he gets treated just like the governor would if he came in. Isn't that true? And so all we want, when you go out, we just want somebody to care about us, that we have a satisfied time, and that we walk out and saying, that was a good meal. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we say, that was a good waiter. That was a good waitress. And I'm serious. I tell them, and I tell the manager every time. And we treat them right. And so when you have a good waiter or waitress, you remember it. Amen. And then what do you do when you leave? Isn't it when it's all over, they get the tip? They get a tip. And I'm a believer in... Look, guys, look. I believe in... we pass tracks all the time. But don't cheap out on the tip. I've had guys say this. I say you tip them, they go, bless God, I gave them the best news in the universe how to get to heaven. That's the best tip there is. And you're a jerk. What you do is you take a tip and you slip it in that, and you put it down, okay? I know, I understand that this is the best tip, this is the best information and advice in the universe, but you understand that the guy that's got to buy groceries, he ain't looking at it like this. So you give him a good tip. But you don't give him the tip up front. You tip him. Oh, look, we give a 10% tip if they have not been good. But if they've been good, man, I've left somebody $20 when the tip was supposed to be 6 or 7. You say, why? Because we got good service. It may not even been a good meal, but we got good service. We had a waitress or a waiter that was there to take care of us and saw to it that everything that we just walked out of there saying, boy, wasn't that a good experience? Wasn't that satisfying? Wasn't that uplifting? Wasn't that a nice person that waited on us? Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord said that about us? Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord one time said, they cared about me? Instead of telling me what I could do for them, they asked me what they could do for me. They didn't demand anything. They knew that they were supposed to make my day good. Guys, have you ever tried to make God's day good? I'll bet you've told Him, here's what you can do to make my day good. But have we ever tried to put a smile on His face? Have we ever really tried to serve Him well? Think about this. If we do not serve Him, could you tell me who will? Who on this planet is here to serve God? It's not the Roman Catholics. It's not those priests. I don't mean that in a bad way, but those guys don't even know Him. It's not the religious people. It's not the people who are serving the hungry people and the homeless people, okay, whether they think they're good or not. But I'm telling you, if anybody ought to wake up in the morning saying, I hope I serve God good today. I hope I serve Him well today. Should it not be us? Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Wait on the Lord. Yes, I think you should patiently wait for the return of Jesus Christ to come and get us out of here. I'm all for it. I want to get out of here. But also,